good morning. How are you today? Man, I hope you're having a great, great day, and I hope you had a good week. But chances are, you probably had some bumps along the way. You probably had some situations and circumstances that were a little difficult. Well, let me encourage you, despite the circumstances, despite the difficulties, God is still on the throne, and he's still moving. And he's alive, and he is well, and he has defeated the enemy. Remind yourself this morning that you are operating from a place of victory. In fact, why don't you just say that? I am operating from a place of victory. Not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus has done. Amen? Hey, I hope you're having a great day. I hope you got your cup of good coffee, whatever your brand is, man. It's good stuff. Love it. You know, last week we started talking about Acts chapter 14. Hey, before I even get into that, I want to just give you a quick shout out, man, for Ignite Student Ministries with Pastor Matt and Brandy. Man, and Brandy Foster, I tell you what, it's just incredible what God is doing. I had the privilege of being part of there and able to be part of that service the other night, and just love what God's doing. We had about 20 students come out, and you know, we're just being real with them, just being raw with them, and just talking about life and the realness of everything. And I'm gonna tell you what, these students, there's a lot of pain and scars and just different things that they all have walked through. And man, at the end of it, we had 20 young people coming to the altars and just crying out to God and just asking God for help, seeking him for solutions rather than just all the other things in life for solutions. They've seen all the other junk and all the other stuff, and they're realizing that there is some hope and there is some incredible victory that they can have available to them in Jesus. But it was just powerful time. So Ignite Student Ministries, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Come on out, man. You can come out before 6:30 or 6, whatever it is. We're out here, and there's great things happening there. And then also on Sunday mornings, man, if you've got a young person all the way, you know, whether it's just a pre-K, okay? We've got child care available during our main service. It's godly child care. There's some people, there's a team of people that just are loving on kids, and it's really awesome. And then this week, we are launching Ignite Junior Kids, and that's for first through sixth grade. After the worship time, Pastor Matt and a few members of his team, they're gonna be taking those students down and just get downstairs and then giving them a message on their level. He's got it all decked out. Check it out on Facebook. It's an awesome thing. But hey, last week we started down the road in Acts chapter 14, and we were talking about Paul and Barnabas at Lystra. There were two points that we talked about. Number one, God uses yielded, willing people, and that is just incredible. The other one that we talked about was how whenever God is moving, the enemy is also moving. He's always looking to destroy the good things that God is doing. Well, in the morning service that we had last Sunday, the Holy Spirit dropped a few other things in my heart during the service, and I only got through the one point. So, you know, it was all good, but I'm going to hold off on moving forward this week with Acts chapter 14. I'm just going to share some additional thoughts on the enemy of our soul. Woo! I tell you what, he is ugly, and he wants nothing more than to get you to question who God is. He is crafty, okay? He twists things, he distorts things, he sets traps for people. But I will tell you, he is powerless against the Almighty God. Do you realize that the only authority that the enemy has is the authority that you and I give to him? Let that sink in. It's like sometimes we just hand over the reins to him and say, you know, here, you know, torment me. The truth is, the scriptures tell us that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, that he is defeated, that no weapon formed against us will actually prosper. See, what he does is this. You and I come into a situation, and it could be we suffer loss, or you might have somebody that you're praying for, or maybe there's a physical problem going on. And you know, we live by faith and not by sight. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, right? And in that moment, we're trying to live by faith, but we're anchoring our faith based on the outcome. See, faith is believing and trusting God even when we don't see the outcome, friend. You know, if you go into Hebrews chapter 11, there's some the Hall of Faith, they call it. And man, you can just look at all these different individuals, and they died not even seeing the fulfillment of the promises of God, but they're in the Hall of Faith. Why? Because they stood believing God despite not seeing it. And sometimes we have to get into that place. We may not instantly see that healing. We may not instantly see that circumstance turn around. I don't know about you, but we all got kryptonite, okay? You might think you're Superman or Superwoman or Wonder Woman or whatever it is, but you and I all have kryptonite. There is something that gets us, okay? I've got my own kryptonite. I'm going to tell you what, the enemy knows what it is. And that's in those times, I have to trust, I have to believe, even when I don't see a change in the circumstance, or I don't see, the miraculous healing manifest right away. It doesn't mean that I don't believe. It doesn't mean that I don't stand on God's word. It doesn't mean that I don't speak His word over those situations and declare that God wants to see us in health, body, soul, and spirit. You know, sometimes I think we limit what God can do through an incredible circumstance like that. When we're overwhelmed, okay, and we're trusting and believing, and others around us can see that, I'm going to tell you what, it's inspiring to see that. I have a good friend who's going through some major health difficulties, and as he's gone through that, I've just been inspired, because it doesn't keep him on the sideline. It doesn't keep him from having vision for things and whatnot in his life. And it just inspires me to see that. Most people would just, you know, collapse and just wait and go to bed and just, I guess, wait to die. But no, man, there is something on the inside of him that wants to live and have life, because he's operating from what? A place of victory, not a place of defeat. God's word is very, very, very clear that the one who is in you and I is greater than the one who is in the world. The one in the world wants to destroy, twist, and distort. He wants you and I to believe the lies that he whispers in our ear, okay? And again, he's not the little red guy with horns and a pitchfork, man. He is for real, all right? And you need to understand, he's powerful, but he has no power over you. He has no authority over you other than the authority that you give him. So let's just say enough is enough. Let's not give him any authority. Let's stand on the scripture that says this, that the reason that the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the enemy. The works are destroyed. We operate from a place of victory, and we operate by faith and not by sight. Amen? You know, one last thought. Mary, mother of Jesus, faced with an absolute incredible circumstance, an absolute mountain in her life. I've said this before, and I'll say it probably many times again, but one of the things that she did, because the sin of adultery, you know, and that's what it all looked like. It looked like she was intimate with a man outside the context of her marriage, and that she had become pregnant. But we know that that wasn't true. It was a supernatural event from the Holy Spirit that took place. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, faced with all these incredible circumstances, she was just a willing, yielded vessel. And she began to say, as she encountered Elizabeth, and her and Elizabeth were together there, and she said this, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Friend, there's a key to overcoming situations, and sometimes we just have to consciously do it, and we need to speak it out and just say, "My soul magnifies God." Friends, it's time that we quit magnifying the mountain. And we all do this, you know. We want to just rehearse it over and over and over in our mind. Or maybe it's something that happened in the past, and the enemy wants to just come and whisper in your ear and tell you how lousy you are and what a knucklehead you were. He does that to me all the time. I wish I could just take the dial and just turn it back. But friends, I can't. You can't. There's nothing we can do about it. We all wish we could, but the reality is we can just keep moving forward. Friends, my soul magnifies the Lord. When I'm faced with a mountain, my soul magnifies the Lord. Am I 100% successful in this all the time? No, I'm not. Sometimes I magnify the mountain. But God always brings me back around gently. He says, "Craig, I'll strengthen you. I'll give you peace. he brings me that renewed hope. He reminds me that I'm operating from a place of victory. And he gently reminds me through Holy Spirit, through his word, that I'm operating by faith and not by sight. And he reminds me of this. My faith is not anchored in the mountain. My faith is anchored in God. My faith is anchored in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so vitally important that I keep that thing alive and well, that I commune with God each and every day of my life. I love you, friends. And if you could just get this one thing, know that the enemy is, he just wants to destroy you. There's nothing friendly about the enemy. He doesn't take a day off, but neither does God. And our enemy is defeated, so let's quit giving him authority over you and I. Let's quit believing his lies and start believing the truth of God's word. Not by faith, not by power, or not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Of course, it's by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. Amen. I hope this has helped you a little bit. And again, next week we'll go back into Acts chapter 14. But just let these words sink in. Get alone with God today. Get alone and just spend some time with him and, you know, meditate on his word. Read a scripture or get on an app. You know, there's some great things out there. Get on YouVersion. You know, download an app. Or I love this new one that I'm on, Messenger X. It's from Messenger International. I love it. There's just so many great resources. We're really without excuse. If you want to, man, go to the website. Check out some of the old messages that are out there. They will encourage you, you know. We're not perfect people here. I certainly don't have it all together. Man, I got a big amen from a lot of people on that. But I don't. I'm flawed, just like the next person. I rely on Jesus each and every day of my life. And I hope that you have found that. All you have to do is confess your sin to him, and he will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But the truth is, sometimes we say, you know, I don't have any sin. Well, whose standard do we live by? It's not by our own. We don't create our own standard of God. God's standard was already made, and no human being could ever fulfill the righteous requirements of it. That's why Jesus came, and he died in our place. Wow, what a thought. What a thought. What a reality. I hope you know Jesus today. And if you don't, man, just get down on your knees. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't do it on your own. It's your words. There's no flowery message or pattern that you have to follow. Just pour your heart out to God. God will never reject you. He will never, ever, ever reject you. He's a faithful God. Hey, God bless you. Have a tremendous week in Jesus. Praying for you. Have a good one.